I want you to take your Bibles or your notes, and we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse number 6. We're glad you can be with us. We want you to learn something here. This message was actually scheduled for some time in April, but because of having to preach a little more frequently, I've used some of my 1 Thessalonian message, and so we're going to complete chapter 3 tonight, Lord willing. As we begin, we remind ourselves that in verses 1 through 5, Paul had been so concerned about the state of the believers in Thessalonica that he had dispatched Timothy to find out firsthand how they were doing. In verse 6, Timothy returns with the good news that the Thessalonian believers were doing well and had fond memories of the Apostle Paul and desired to see him. In verse 7, Paul expresses his encouragement over the good report brought back by Timothy. At this point in time, Paul's entire life was consumed with how these converts were doing in their Christian walk. He was delighted to learn that they were doing well spiritually, and it was his constant prayer that he might be able to return to Thessalonica and further assist these believers in their Christian lives. But now in verse 6 we read, "When Timotheus was come from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." In verse 6, Paul indicates that Timothy's return with good news regarding the Thessalonian believers has been a great encouragement to him. He was no longer concerned about whether they might really be saved, but he was assured that Timothy found evidence of the genuineness of their salvation. Timothy's return seems to refer to the same event recorded in Acts 18:5, when Timothy and Silas rejoined Paul in Corinth. You'll remember that when Paul was forced to leave Thessalonica, he went down south a little ways to Berea, and he was there a while, and then he was forced to leave Berea, and then he was taken by an escort to Athens. We don't know how long he was in Athens, but it wasn't too long. Following that, he went to Corinth. Now he's in Corinth as he's writing 1 Thessalonians, but introduces a mild contrast. Now suggests at the present time, "When Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us." It's the translation of a series of words. They're actually participles in the Greek text, all of which are used adverbially, modifying some verb. The verb, however, is not stated. And they all indicate either time or cause. "When Timotheus came from you unto us" is literally Timothy having come to us. The time of the action of came may occur at the same time as the action of the supplied verb, whatever it is, or it may occur before the action of the supplied verb. If showing time, it is understood in the sense of when he came, that's the way it's translated, or after he came. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because he came. Timotheus, you know, as Timothy, is the one who came. "From you unto us" indicates direction. Timothy had been with the Thessalonian believers in Thessalonica And he had now returned to Paul in Corinth. Us is the Apostle Paul, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us. This is a second participial phrase. Brought good news is the same term translated to bring good news, to announce good news, or to proclaim good news. It's the term often used of preaching the gospel, but in this verse, it's not the gospel or the good news of Christ that is being proclaimed. Instead, it's the good news concerning the faith of the Thessalonian believers that Timothy was delivering to Paul. Brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us, always tells the content of the good news. Apparently, their faith was sound or genuine, and there was a love that is characteristic of believers. The term for charity or love is the one which means that they gave themselves completely on behalf of somebody else without expecting anything in return. It's the sort of love that God demonstrated when he sent Christ to die on the cross in payment for the sins of the world. And of course, that includes the sins that you have committed and I have committed. Their love is probably a love for the Lord as well as a love for the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Their love may actually go beyond the love, beyond the Lord and Paul and his traveling companions, and be extended to include each other as well as all of the unbelievers in Thessalonica. But it is certainly an evidence that they had been genuinely born again. When you are truly saved, the Holy Spirit will indeed produce a love in you for others that is not characteristic of the unsaved crowd. That ye have remembrance of us, where ye is, you plural, and refers to the Thessalonian believers, and us as Paul, and it could include Silas and Timothy, is that you have memory of us always. It's a third piece of information the glad tidings contained. The believers at Thessalonica were pleased to have been saved, and they had fond memories of the Apostle Paul and perhaps also of Silas and Timothy at all times. In the King James translation, always goes with have, but it may instead go with desiring. They were always desiring greatly, or they always had remembrance. Both are probably true. Desiring greatly is the translation of an intensive form of a verb which means longing for. What they were greatly desiring or longing for was to see us or to behold us, where us means Paul and may include and likely does include Silas and Timothy, as indicates a comparison in the sense of just as. We is emphatic and refers to Paul. It may include Silas and Timothy also. We also to see you. Also implies not only that they wished to see Paul, but that he likewise wished to see them. You is plural, and it refers to the Thessalonian believers. As indicated by the italics, the translators have supplied to see in order to aid the understanding of the English reader. Verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Therefore is the translation of a prepositional phrase in the Greek text, which is literally because of this or unto this. So there's a couple of words in Greek translated by one in English. This isn't unusual. The same phrase was translated for this cause in verse 5. The content of this refers to Timothy's return and to his good report concerning the Thessalonian believers. Therefore, brethren or brothers, addresses the readers as fellow believers or as Christian brothers. We were comforted, where we refers to Paul, is we were encouraged or we were cheered up. The Apostle Paul, as we have seen in previous weeks, had been very concerned over the spiritual condition of these believers and was apparently somewhat discouraged as a result of his concern. Now, however, he's satisfied that God has blessed there in spite of, or perhaps because of, the persecution that these people were genuinely saved and were doing what they ought to be doing in their Christian lives. Although it would be difficult to have to leave just one person and to commend him to the grace of God rather than to be able to stay and help him further, the Apostle Paul had to commit an entire church to the Lord's keeping, and they were doing just fine. You know, it is amazing how well the Lord can do without the aid of anyone else. It's amazing how he can get along without you or without me. But remember, he got along without us before we were born, and he can continue to get along without us after we have passed away. Over you may indicate before you or upon you, but it seems better understood in the sense of on account of you or because of you. You is plural, referring to the Thessalonian believers. It was because of their faith and their subsequent behavior. We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress, tells where Paul was encouraged or cheered up. All goes with both affliction and distress. It is actually each or every. However, if Paul was encouraged with each affliction and distress, or in every affliction and distress, then he was encouraged in all of them, as it's translated. Affliction is the same term which literally means pressing or pressure, but when it's used figuratively, as it is in this verse, it means oppression, affliction, or tribulation. Distress means calamity. Paul had suffered some persecution and was going through some difficult times in his concern and distress regarding these Thessalonian believers. You mean you're not the only one who has gone through some oppression or tribulation or concern or distress for people you know, particularly for loved ones in your family? No, it's normal. We all go through it. We all experience it. By your faith, is through your faith or by means of your faith or trust. When Paul learned of their faith, meaning of their belief or trust, it was a great encouragement to him. You know, if you've got a loved one that's got problems and all of a sudden you hear good news, it's an encouragement to you. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. Verse 8 is actually a causal clause, and it's in the form of a conditional statement modifying comforted in verse 7. For is the word ordinarily translated because, and it should be understood in this sense in this verse as well. Now we live is actually the conclusion of a conditional statement. Now means at the present time, or as far as the present situation is concerned. We live, where we most likely refers to the Apostle Paul, is we are alive or we are living. If ye stand fast in the Lord is a condition, about Noah's, which no assumption can be made. It may be true, or it may be false, and he doesn't know what it is, or he didn't. Ordinarily, the conditional portion of a conditional statement comes before the conclusion. However, the conclusion is being emphasized here by its being placed before the condition in this sentence. Now, you're used to this in English. You might say to your child, if you don't do this, you're going to get a spanking. But if you wanted to emphasize it, you would tell him, you're going to get a spanking if you don't do this. You understand? You use this all the time for emphasis. When you put that conditional, the condition second and the conclusion first in the sentence. I wonder why my mother and dad had to use that form of address to me. It must have been my sister that they were really thinking of. I can't help but understand it any differently. Ye, as you plural, referring to the Thessalonian believers, and it is used for emphasis. Ye stand fast is literally stand, but when it's used figuratively, as it is in this verse, it's understood in the sense of stand firm or are steadfast. In the Lord tells where they are to stand fast. If they remain firm or stand firm in the Lord, Paul is alive. That's life to him. But if they do not stand fast in the Lord, then Paul is going to be very definitely grieved over it. You know what it's like with your children. If they do what they're supposed to do in the way they're supposed to do it, you're pleased. And if they refuse to do what they're supposed to do, and they refuse to do it in the way they're supposed to do it, you are not going to be pleased at all. You're going to get after them, most likely. Now, of course, when they're 60 years of age, you don't get after them quite so much anymore. You just ask the Lord to get after them. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Verses 9 and 10 form a rhetorical question. Rhetorical questions do not expect an answer. 4 is explanatory. It may be understood in the sense of now. What is, what sort of? What sort of thanks? What sort of the rendering of thanks or what sort of thanksgiving can we render again? Where we, as Paul is, are we able to give back? Are we able to repay or are we able to return to God? Which indicates the one whom we should thank. For you, where you is plural and it's referring to the Thessalonian believers. What thanks can we render again to God concerning you or about you? For all the joy is over all the joy or on account of all the joy. Where we refers to Paul is which we rejoice. For your sakes is because of you or on account of you. You is plural. Your is plural and it refers to the Thessalonian believers. And before our God suggests in the presence of our God or in the sight of our God where our refers to Paul. You know, as a pastor and wife, we are thankful when the believers in our church are seeking to live for the Lord and growing. And what else can we do except thank God for what he's doing in their lives? I'm sure you feel the same way about those that are under your authority or in your ministry, whatever that would be. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That's what they want to do. And they're praying night and day, which means during the nighttime. It's not throughout the night. And during the daytime. Again, it's not throughout the daytime. Those would take different constructions in the Greek text than what this is. But both at night and during the day, Paul was praying that God would enable him to go back to the Thessalonian believers in order that he might help them mature spiritually. You know, as you go about your daily routine, God will bring some things to your mind and you will pray for them right then and there. And then in the middle of the night, you know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like that, when it's almost time to get up, God will also bring things into your mind and you'll pray for them right then and there. Praying describes with joy in verse 9. Its action occurs at the same time as the action of with joy. So it's understood in the sense of while or when we pray, or while or when we are praying, or in the sense of and we pray or and we are praying. Exceedingly is extremely or greatly. And it's the translation of a prepositional phrase, which literally reads beyond extremely, above extremely, over and above extremely, or more than extremely. Since it is more than extremely, it's understood in the sense of greatly. Praying that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That is used to show purpose and therefore is understood in the sense of in order that or for the purpose that. We might see your face. Now, he's not wanting to see a picture of them. He means we might behold your face or your countenance. And it's clearly implying that the Apostle Paul wanted to be present with these believers in order that he might see them face to face. Face is a part which represents the whole. But his desire is not limited to just seeing them, as and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith implies. Might perfect suggests might put into proper condition, might complete, or might make complete. That which is lacking is the things lacking or the shortcomings. These are defects which would be in the Thessalonian believers which needed to be removed so that perfection might be attained. As Christians, they had areas in their lives that needed to be straightened out or in which they needed growth before they could possibly be mature believers. It might be they had some gaps in their doctrinal position which Paul had not yet been able to teach them because of the brevity of his stay with them. That which is lacking in your faith, where your is plural and refers to the Thessalonian believers, refers to their belief or their trust, meaning to what they believe. Now, go back a few years, shortly after you were saved. You didn't know a lot. Your faith needed to grow and mature. And it does that as you study the Bible. Take a look at where you are now. A lot of gaps have been filled in. But you know there's still some gaps there. We're still growing and maturing as believers. I learn every day as I study the scriptures. And so will you. That which is lacking, we want that. We want to be perfect in our understanding of everything, but we don't yet happen to be perfect. We are farther along than we used to be, and that's encouraging. Let's keep going in the right direction. As we come to verses 11 through 13, we see Paul's prayer for the Thessalonian believers. In verses 11 through 13, Paul expresses a prayer to God which is written in the form of a wish or desire. He desires that God the Father and Christ direct his way to them, that the Lord make them to abound in love toward each other and toward all people, and that the Lord strengthen their hearts with the result that they will be completely holy in their practice when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for them. Sounds like they had some growing to do, doesn't it? Now, God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Verses 11 through 13 are in the form of a benediction, which indicates a wish Paul has for the Thessalonian believers because his heart had been blessed as he's reminded of them. Now is used to introduce the benediction and is the word ordinarily translated and, now, or but. In this verse, it indicates a continuation of the thought and is understood as and. God and our Father is literally the God and Father of us. The appears before God in the Greek text, and it's understood with Father as well. As a result, this is clearly a reference to God the Father. The same phrase is translated God, even our Father, in verse 13. Himself is placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text and is an intensifier, intensifying both God and Father. It is literally the God and the Father himself of us. And our Lord Jesus Christ indicates that Jesus Christ is also involved in Paul's wish. Whereas God is our Father, Jesus Christ is our Lord. I heard a recording not too long ago of somebody saying that Jesus was not Lord. Well, the person that made that recording ought to read the Bible a little bit more and he'd find out a little differently. The two uses of our refer to Paul and likely also include Silas and Timothy, the Thessalonian believers, and all believers everywhere. God is indeed our Father. He is also our Lord or our Master. Don't ever forget that. Direct our way. Make straight or lead. And it's used to express a wish. And it means may God our Father himself and may our Lord Jesus Christ lead or make straight our way or our path unto you. Way is a road or a highway or a path. And this third use of our refers to Paul, perhaps also to his traveling companions. Unto you is to you or toward you, and indicates that Paul wishes to return to the Thessalonian believers. Verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. Sounds like maybe they needed to love each other more than they were loving each other. Suppose that could happen in a local church. Well, some other churches, but not here, of course. And toward all men, even as also we do toward you. Verse 12 continues Paul's expressed wish in his benediction and continues the thought. And it's the same word translated now in verse 11. The Lord refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make you to increase and abound is a wish. And it's understood in the sense of may he make you to increase and to abound. To make, to increase, is to cause to increase or to cause to become rich. And to abound is to cause to abound or to make extremely rich. In love indicates the area of their lives in which Paul wishes these believers to increase and to abound or to be enriched. one toward another and toward all men, indicates the direction which Paul wishes their love to abound. One toward another is to unto one another, or unto each other, and toward all men is simply and unto all. As indicated by the italics, men does not actually appear in the Greek text, but it was supplied by the translators in order to aid the understanding of the English reader. Even as is just as. We refers to Paul, perhaps including his traveling companions. The use of we is emphatic in the Greek text. Even as we do, as indicated by the italics, do has been supplied in the English text by the translators in order to aid the understanding of the English reader. Even as we do toward you is unto you, and refers to the Thessalonian believers. Paul genuinely loves them, and he wants them to love one another. And you know, something that I see in our local churches today is that our people need to have a genuine love for each other. Something that I have observed in this church is that the love for each other has actually grown during my ministry here. I'm thankful for that. It's the result of the scriptures being taught and you learning from them and God doing a work in your lives. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. To the end he may establish is an infinitive phrase in the Greek text which is used to show purpose or intended result. To the end is therefore understood in the sense of that, in order that, or so that. He may establish, he may set up, he may fix firmly, or he may support when used literally. But when it is used figuratively, as it is in this verse, it's understood in the sense of he may establish, he may confirm, or he may strengthen. And what he's praying is that he may strengthen your hearts, where yours plural and refers to the Thessalonian believers, and it tells what Paul wants strengthened. Now, he's not speaking of some cardiovascular activity that will increase the physical strength of their hearts. Instead, Paul speaks of the hearts of these believers in the sense of their innermost recesses of their beings. When Paul says your hearts, he really means you. Unblameable is blameless or faultless. And Paul tells Paul how Paul wants to see the Thessalonian believers confirmed or strengthened, faultless or blameless in holiness. It tells the area in which Paul wants these Thessalonian believers to be established as unblameable. It is in holiness before God, to be holy in the sight of God or in the presence of God. Of course, with God, who is omniscient, there can be no pretense. Paul wants them to be genuinely holy. Now, as I see the scriptures, as you study them, and as you put them into practice in your life, and you keep caught up on confession of sin, God will produce that holiness in you gradually. It's there already in the new nature, but it will grow and it will mature, and it will dominate the old sin nature. God is further, even our Father. Even is ordinarily translated and, but in this verse, it's used in a slightly emphatic sense as even, but it may be understood in a more emphatic sense as indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly. God is further described as our Father, where our is personal. Refers to Paul and perhaps also to his traveling companions. By extension, it refers to all believers everywhere. The same phrase was translated God and our Father in verse 11. The appears before God in the Greek text, and it's understood with Father as well. And when the appears before God in the Greek text, it's always a reference to God the Father. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints is at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and refers to the time of the rapture of believers. The word for coming means the presence, or the coming as the first stage in presence. As with all his saints indicates, the Lord Jesus Christ will not be coming alone. He will be accompanied by his saints. These are saved people who have previously died, and their souls have gone to be with the Lord. Some of you have spouses in that circumstance, don't you? Your spouses have passed away and they were saved and they're coming back with the Lord. And if you're still here, you might meet them in the air. It's the same event referred to in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, and particularly in verse 14, which states, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." It is those who sleep in Jesus, meaning who have died in Jesus, saved people who died, who will accompany Jesus at his coming. Saints refers to believers. They are those who have been sanctified or set apart for the Lord's use. Paul had a wonderful ministry in Thessalonica. It was cut short by opposition from unbelieving Jews who gathered some wicked men and caused a riot and attacked the house of Jason and unsuccessfully sought to bring Paul and Silas out to the crowd. But they did not find them. Of course, all of this was in the will of God. When it was night, the saved men sent Paul and Silas away to Berea, where they continued to proclaim the gospel. When the unsaved Jews from Thessalonica learned that Paul and Silas were in Berea, they came to Berea, where they stirred up the crowds and forced Paul, accompanied by believers, to flee to Athens. Eventually, Timothy apparently rejoined Paul in Athens, but Paul was so concerned with how the Thessalonian believers were doing that he dispatched Timothy to Thessalonica to see how they were doing. Timothy reported back to Paul in Corinth after Paul left Athens and traveled to Corinth. He advised Saul that the believers, and that Saul and Paul are the same person, he advised Paul or Saul that believers in Thessalonica were doing well. Of course, this was welcome news for Paul. He was delighted to learn that they were doing well spiritually, and it was his constant prayer that he might be able to return to Thessalonica and to further assist them in their Christian lives. You know, it's also a blessing to learn that God has used you and me in his service, even if it's only with our own families. Keep living for the Lord and enjoy the blessings he gives us. His blessings always outweigh whatever trials we experience. You may be going through what you think is the worst trial in your life, but it will not compare with the blessings that you have in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you that we have the privilege and opportunity to be here and to study thy word and to pray. We ask that you'll meet the needs of our folks in Jesus' name. Amen.